Okay, Call to Conquer is my message for this morning. Some of you will have read this already, but I want to start with a testimony. Big John had been living on the streets of London for over 10 years. Before that, he'd spent over 9 years in prison. Most of his teeth were missing. He was addicted to methadone. His nickname on the streets of London was Big John because he was a big guy who had once boxed for the army. Big John walked into our night shelter for the homeless at HTB. He came with his friend, Little John. Big John loved it and appreciated all the young people who cared for him. He started coming to church. He came on Alpha. He encountered Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on the Alpha weekend. He came off the drugs. God turned his life right around from despair to joy. He started telling his friends on the streets about Jesus. Each week he would turn up at church with more friends. His nickname on the streets changed from Big John to John the Baptist. One of the guys he'd met on the Alpha weekend was in the property business and found him accommodation. A dentist in our congregation volunteered to replace all his missing teeth. He's been reconciled with his mother and his daughter, and he now has a relationship with his grandchildren whom he had never met before. Following Jesus is life-changing. He constantly turns people's lives around. God is a God of new beginnings and transformation. He turns despair into joy. Isn't that exciting? And do you know what, guys? We have some Big Johns coming on Alpha 2. And, you know, I think it's an opportunity for us also to be reaching out with love. But more than just good works, we want to see spiritual transformation. We want to see the power of God breaking into their lives too. And some of these guests which have been coming to Alpha, which are coming to Alpha, my prayer, our prayer is that we see transformation too. Some of them are homeless. Some of them haven't, well, they're probably not homeless, but they're not living in the best places here. Some of them have addiction problems, but God wants to meet them too. And God's given us that brilliant opportunity. So I'm talking on Call to Conquer, and I read that this morning, and I thought, I want people to understand what we are meaning by conquering. And for me, Big John was conquered by the gospel. Big John's life was turned around. He was under the control of the kingdom of darkness, the prince of the world, if you like, and now he's become under the control of King Jesus. He's been conquered by love. And so when I'm using this term, as I'll explain in a moment or two, I want us to understand what we're talking about. Now, we've been speaking for a few weeks, and we're looking at the vision God's given us from the Bible. And it was just a little while ago I heard the vision of the church described as world conquest. And it made me think, is that really our vision? Is that really the vision and the plan of God? World conquest. It's not the term I had used very much before in describing the vision of the church. I'm not sure I'd want to stick it on the outside of the pavilion. You know, Life Spring Church, world conquest is our vision. But I want you to understand what we're meaning by that term. So although we may express it in different ways, at the end of the day, as I mulled this over, I concluded, yes, that is our mandate. That is our vision. That is what we are committed to as a church, to conquer the world for Jesus. We're called to conquer. Jesus came to conquer. But just having such a thought is one thing, but there needs to be substance to what I've just said to you. It has to be biblical. It has to be based on the Bible if we can really embrace it. And I want us to see that this is a biblical vision, and God's calling us to conquer the world for him. But one of my struggles was, first of all, with the term conquest and other associations with that description. World conquest. Who's played Risk? A few of us. I like Risk. I mean, I've not played it for a long time. It's a board game on world domination. And whatever color you might be, you know, the goal of the game is to see the world filled with that color. You've taken over the world. Well, the Persian Empire came the closest. Nearly 45% of the world population was subject to the Persian Empire at its height. The British Empire was the third largest empire. And that covered nearly 25% of the planet's land, and about 20% of the world's population were under the rule of the British Empire at its height. And when I think of world conquest, my mind immediately goes to those sort of examples. But those empires are remembered primarily for military conquest, for subduing nations by force. And those who resisted, they were either captured or they were killed. And that's the image I have when that term's used. But I want to say to you, Jesus' vision of world conquest, it's not a military one as we know it. It's the spread of the kingdom of God. And I love Paul's description of the kingdom of God, the Apostle Paul, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom which we are called to conquer this world with. Isaiah prophesied, his government, kingdom if you like, and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of armies will make this happen. So the dream of God, the plan of God is to see this kingdom, the New International Version puts it, that it will never stop increasing. It's going to go on and on. The spread of his kingdom, the passionate commitment of the Lord of armies will make it happen. So we need to understand world conquest and see it through Jesus' eyes. Not something to be forced on people, but to be embraced. It's a kingdom of goodness, of love, of peace and joy. The battle we're engaged in is between the kingdom of darkness, where their king, Satan, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and just generally wreak destruction on this earth. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, we celebrated this morning, that king, our king, he came to die that we might have abundant and overflowing life. What a contrast between these two kingdoms. Satan came to wreak havoc. Jesus came to restore hope and actually to destroy the works of the devil. And that's where we come in, because he's passed the baton on to us. He said on the cross, it's finished. He's completed what he came to do. And the Acts of the Apostles tells us the story of the works of Jesus continuing through the church of Jesus Christ. So let's just quickly come to the term conquest. The dictionary definition, it's the act or state of conquering. It tells you a lot, doesn't it? Or the state even of being conquered. Vanquishment. That's probably what I've described. But then it says, or winning the favor, affection, love, etc. It gives the example of a conquest of Antony by Cleopatra. So what we see here in this first definition is what I've explained with earthly empires. But the second definition I like, although I have to admit it's usually in a different context, but the winning of favor, affection, and love. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. Winning, expressing, releasing, that people's lives might be changed. I was going to say God's plan of conquest ultimately is a conquest of love. But then I thought, no, actually, that's not quite true. Ultimately, it will be imposed. Ultimately, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But until we get to that day, it's voluntary. It's a conquest by persuasion, by influence, by love, by conviction. It's not imposed. It's us choosing to become subjects of King Jesus and to live life his way. It's us loving him because he first loved us. When it comes to Europe and the UK, and we're in interesting times at the moment, aren't we? I'm all for democracy. We have our say, we have our vote, and the majority win, and it works quite well for us. But we need to put down our democratic mindset when it comes to the things of God. And sometimes that's not so easy for us Westerners. You see, God's not democratic. No one voted him in. No one can seriously challenge him. He always wins. He is the supreme king and ruler of the universe. In fact, the Bible tells us he raises up governments and kings And he pulls governments and kings down. He is the sustainer of all things. Life and death are in his hands. He gives free will, but it's operated within his already defined spheres. He's the beginning and the end. Okay, so God's not democratic. In fact, he's called theocratic. It's a theocracy. God rules. He's king. No one else. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't compromise. All the change, all the compromise is on our part when it comes to God. Because he's king, he's Lord. And actually, it's what the Bible calls repentance. I have to change my thinking to come in line with God's thinking. So I just want to say we need to change our thinking because we're bringing in a rule, the government of heaven. And it's where Jesus rules, where his kingdom comes. And yes, of course, he chooses us to be part of his family. He adopts us as his sons and daughters out of his love for us. But we're still his servants. We're still subjects to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Because we've chosen to be. He didn't force it on us. We've chosen to be, to make him king of our lives. So called to conquer. Let's look at some scriptures. Going to start at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 26. And then we're going to look at the end of the Bible. But we'll start at the beginning. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." This passage of Scripture is known as the creation mandate. It's God's blessing from the very beginning for mankind. But it's also God's plan for mankind. Now, we won't go into it today, but sin came in, messed it all up initially. Jesus came to restore and to bring us back to that original destiny and plan. But what I want us to notice here is God's blessing is to be fruitful, first of all. He blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful." Fruitfulness is always a blessing. Barrenness is always a curse and not part of God's plan. God's blessing was for fruitfulness. It applies physically, yes, but also applies spiritually. And I want to challenge us, Life Spring, don't settle for no or little fruit in your lives. It's not the plan or the blessing of God for you. One test Jesus gave about being the disciples of Jesus was this. He said in John 15, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." So Jesus is expecting disciples to be fruitful, to bear much fruit. And what an incredible blessing that is for each and every one of us. We're all called to be fruitful. And what do I mean by fruitful? Well, I think it's changed lives and it's souls saved. That's the spiritual fruit that God's looking for. He's come, that big John story, which I mentioned at the beginning, that was a soul that got saved and his life was totally transformed. That's good fruit. And my prayer is that we see many, many more big Johns finding Jesus in that way. So first of all, his blessing is to be fruitful. Secondly, God's blessing is to increase and multiply. That's his blessing on mankind. We don't despise small things. And we need to prove ourselves faithful in small things. But I want you to see from here, God's looking for more. He's looking for increase. It's part of the blessing of God. That's why I mentioned earlier on, we want to extend the capacity of the pavilion. We're believing for increase. We're believing God wants to add. He wants to bless us that we might be a blessing. He wants us to see souls saved and disciples formed that we may conquer this town of Reading with his love and with his power. He wants this house to be full. God wants heaven to be full. Right through the Bible, you see it's about multitudes. It's about great harvest. It's about nations. It's about all peoples. Because we've got used to small church, because we've got used to small things, we think this is the plan and will of God. But I would say no. His plan has always been increase and multiplication. He sent his son that the whole world might have the opportunity to respond to him. Jesus died not just for the Jewish state, he died for people from every tongue, every nation. That's his heart. It's for the world. So don't take it just from me. Read the Bible and see. And I want us to say, okay, God, I like small. I like it nice and tidy and easy to manage and stuff. But I'm beginning to see your plan is for bigger things. And I want to join with you, Lord, and believe for increase and multiplication because it's the blessing of God on our lives. Amen. Isaiah 54 says, enlarge the place of your tent. That's what we're trying to do, actually. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you'll spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do you catch the heart of God? It's for expansion. It's for moving out. It's for increase. And I believe God wants us as a church to catch his heart too. Malk and I and one or two others, we heard the Bishop of Reading on last Wednesday, came to the pastor's prayer, and he was great. It was great just to listen to him. But he said, one of the statistics which has just come through recently is that the Churches of England has admitted for the first time there's less than 1 million attending church on Sundays in our country. I mean, I think they should change the definition, really. There are churches at different times, aren't there, and things like that. But anyway, but their definition, less than 1 million are now attending church on Sundays. And if it keeps on going at the same rate, in 20 to 30 years' time, there'll only be 700,000 attending church on Sundays. And the bishop was cool about it, you know, and he said, but that's not my problem, that's Jesus's, because he's building his church. And I understand what he's saying, but I'm thinking, if I was Church of England, I would not want to be looking down and expecting everything to be going down there. I would not want to be expecting to get less and less and less profile, influence, numbers, and everything. I don't think that would be God's plan. Anybody agree with me? I think God's plan would be to turn that round. And thank God for the HTBs of the world and other great Anglican churches, Grey Friars, and other great. Thank God for them. But God's plan isn't for less. God's plan's for more. And I think the Church of England and maybe others of us, we need to pray. And it might not be Church of England as it is now will ever succeed, but God, come and do a work in that church which is just going to make it so relevant and so powerful and so full of life and light and joy that rather than going down, we begin to see increase. We begin to see the Church of England being used for what it should be used as the church in this nation. God's blessing, increase and multiplication. And lastly here, God's blessing is to subdue and rule. Oh, here we are again. Don't like that. Don't like those words. We're democratic. God's blessing is to do with government. It's to do with authority. It's to do with rule. It's to do with his kingdom breaking in, which is far more powerful than any earthly kingdom. The prophet Daniel, he had lots of visions. And one of the visions was of this great big statue. And the statue was a gold head, and it was all different sort of metals and stuff, all the way down to clay and iron feet. And he was perplexed because a rock came and smashed this statue down. Nebuchadnezzar had that vision. And Daniel came to translate it for him. And he said, well, that statue represents all those empires, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, maybe British Empire might be in there somewhere, all those empires. But he said, that rock, which is going to smash the statue down, it then becomes a mountain and it fills the whole earth. Do you know what that rock is? It's the kingdom of God. Daniel says that's the kingdom of God. That's the rule of God. You see, that's the plan of God. It's not just for a little segment of the world even. It's for the whole earth. God's rule coming. God wanting to break in. And it's not fighting with machine guns and the stuff of the world. It's a spiritual kingdom breaking in and taking over the whole of this world. Hallelujah. And Jesus began that 2,000 years ago. Everywhere he went, natural and spiritual powers obeyed. Demons came out. Sickness was healed. The blind saw. The lame walked. Water became wine. I'd like to do that a bit more if I could. Waves and wind stopped when he spoke the word. Even just touching him released power. Some of us are reading through the Gospels at the moment. And I'm just amazed every time. One word spoken and somebody miles away, their servant is just totally healed. What power. What power. Everybody that came to him tells him that he healed his Peter's mother-in-law. And when they heard about this, they all came. Can you just imagine them knocking on Peter's door, mum's door? You know, I want a healing too. Queues of them. And it says he healed them all. Everybody that came. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that's going to fill this whole earth. Do you want to be part of that? You see, that's our call to bring in this rule, to bring in this kingdom, this government. We're called to conquer. We're called to rule. Paul, in fact, calls us more than conquerors. I want to touch on that next time I speak. So this is the creation mandate, which I want us to remind us of, given to man at the beginning of time. But the Bible's ever so helpful, because that's what we read at the beginning, but it also gives us a glimpse of the future. We look at the last book in the Bible. And here I want to read Revelation 11, verse 15. It says, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever.'" Wow. Did you hear that? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God, and he will reign forever and ever. I don't know if I'm triumphalist. I don't know what you might call me. But I'm glad I can look at the back of the book and see how it ends. Jesus in total control. Every Ayatollah, every president, every prime minister, every king, and all of their subjects bowing the knee to King Jesus. Every atheist, those new atheists, those outspoken new atheists, every one of them acknowledging there's a God. I got it wrong. I've messed up. But now I know, Jesus, you're the King. You're the Lord. And what an opportunity each one of us have before that day to choose to bow the knee and to acknowledge him as King and Lord of our lives. He gives us that opportunity, that choice now. So I love to look at the end. World conquest, great commission completed. You see, our commission at this moment in time is to take this kingdom out, to spread this good news, to share this good news. And it's more than words. I can't remember where it was we were praying, but the kingdom of God's not just words, it's power. And my daughter's ill in bed, and we've prayed, and we've done all the stuff that good Christians should do, and she's still ill in bed. And I'm thinking, and she's thinking, where are you, Lord? You know, but we need to go on. We need to keep believing. We need to keep trusting. We need to see power released, demonstrating the rule of God in this world. And that's our call. What Jesus started, the church completes before he comes back. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to have time to finish my talk today, but I just want to read one more scripture to encourage you. Almost the very end of the Bible. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And the sea was gone." Can't imagine it without sea, can we? But must be something better. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem." Do you know who that is? It's you and me. That's the church. "The new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. He said, it's finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all those who are thirsty, I'll freely give from the springs of the water of life, and all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. I'll be my God. I'll be their God, and they will be my children. What a glorious picture. I just wanted to, well, I wasn't intending to, but I'm going to end with that beautiful passage. The church on earth and God come down to earth. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God. No more death, no more sadness, no more crying. That's all in the past. All things are new. And he invites you, and he invites all of us here to be part of that new age which is to come. And we can begin to experience and taste some of those blessings even now as we decide to give our lives afresh to King Jesus. Say, Jesus, be my Savior, be my King. I want to submit to you. I'm not voting one way or the other. I am just bowing my knee and acknowledging that you're Lord. Can we stand together? I'd like to give us the opportunity to respond to what I've said. Next time I want to go into a bit more practical ways about what that looks like. But for now, I just think, what a place to end. Just that glorious picture of paradise, of this earth filled with his glory and his presence. Lord, I want to thank you that sometimes over here, it seems like we're on the losing side. Maybe the bishops and the archbishops, the Church of England, feel like it's fighting a losing battle at times. Maybe others of us do as well. But I want to thank you, Lord, that ultimately you win. And I want to thank you, Lord, that our confidence in the future is based on what we've celebrated today, the cross, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to pray, Lord, that you help each one of us grasp this mandate which you've given us to go forth with a message of hope, a message of victory, a message of freedom, a message of grace and mercy, that many might be drawn to you, that many might hear the good news, that their lives can be turned around, even now as well as in the future. So, Lord, I pray, help us grasp more of your love, more of your life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And just before we sing the last song, I just need to make the opportunity, don't I? You know, I've talked about Christians, I've talked about God's plan for the whole of the world. And there may be people here today which have just, it's a foreign message. It may be people here today that have never committed their lives to him. It may be that there are some here today who, well, you made a commitment, but you've wandered. And you just want to recommit and say, Lord, I want you to be king. I want to follow you. You are my Savior. I want to come back to you. I want to give you opportunity to come and to be prayed for if that's you. We're going to sing a song now. But if you want to recommit, or if you want to commit for the first time to this glorious message of salvation, because it's abundant life now, you know. It's abundant life now. It's more than conquerors now. And of course, it goes on forever, because Jesus has dealt with the sin problem in our lives. If that's you, then please come forward and we'd like to pray with you. And also, if there's anybody sick, any particular needs at all, we do believe the kingdom of God is here. And we're going to pray that we will see his power released into your life. So come forward during the song. We'll pray after the song. Thanks very much.